Hi, everyone. This is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology. Happy Monday, everybody, and happy new moon in Aries. Today, we're going to take a look at the new moon in Aries, who's also brought to you by Venus's square to Pluto. So we'll be taking a look at that and giving you a sense of what to expect from the lunar cycle ahead. It's a big cycle for Venus in particular. So that'll be our topic for today. In the meantime, I want to remind all of you that my new class, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, begins this June. I'm going to put it up on the screen where you can see it. So I hope that some of you will be joining the class. It's a one-year program. I teach about 100 hours worth of material over the course of a year, and you'll learn about the history of Western astrology, philosophical and mystical roots of ancient astrology, the basic astronomy, the influence of modern depth psychology upon our field, the role of karma, fate, and free will, the use and meaning of the traditional planets, so many other things. We have optional homework, 12 guest lectures outside of my 100 hours worth of teaching. There's recommended reading assignments and optional quizzes, an in-depth webinar with staff, optional breakout study sessions with staff. So it's a really great program. You can take advantage of. It starts June 13th, meets weekly, typically about 3 weeks on and then 1 or 2 weeks off, and then 3 weeks on, 1 or 2 weeks off. There's an early bird payment you can use, a payment plan, and also need-based tuition if you need some help. So try to make sure our programs are really accessible for single moms or people who are on a really fixed income or people who are only working part-time or people receiving disability or something like that. So yeah, please feel free to take advantage of that if it's helpful. So if you have any questions about the program, you can also email me info@nightlightastrology.com. And I would be glad to try to answer your question. So here's the real-time clock for today. Let's take a look at the new moon in the sign of Aries. This new moon, again, in Aries is brought to you by Venus's square with Pluto, also the underlying ruler, Mars, separating from a square to Neptune. So let's talk about, first of all, just as a background, Mars square Neptune means that there is going to be underlying ideological conflicts or trouble around rhetoric, words, language, and ideas or beliefs throughout this upcoming cycle. And it's most likely to impact people and create discord or challenges to keeping harmony in relationships or even in places that are supposed to be somehow civil. So we're going to see the potential for civil war, civil strife. But what does that mean? Civil, the etymological meaning of civil means like the agreed upon or underlying sense of social cohesion, civil. And when you have the potential for civil strife, Venus being challenged by Mars or Venus in Mars's sign, and then you have Neptune in a square with Mars in Mercury's sign, you're also talking about the potential for this civil strife to come from an inability to arrive upon consensus with regard to truth or regard to your axiomatic starting points. It's sort of like trying to have a debate when two people have completely and fundamentally different starting points. For example, I believe that God is real and is the foundation of everything, including my own spirit soul, versus someone who says there is no God. It's completely different starting points. Now, it is not inevitable that because we have different axiomatic starting points that we have to hate each other or that we have to fight with each other. Isn't it true that we can debate or challenge philosophies without harming or hurting people? Also, isn't it possible for speech and communication to be freely expressed without attacking the people with whom we disagree or listen to even though we disagree? So these are the kinds of questions that may be underlying this cycle ahead. And these are par for the course at this point in many ways. Why? Because we have Neptune in the sign of Pisces. This is a sign ruled by Jupiter. And what does Jupiter represent? Jupiter, like Venus, Venus represents like being able to put, I'm just going to use like a kind of a mundane example, but like just say being able to put a plate together that looks nice, that's coordinated, that has the right complementary tastes and textures and stuff like that onto a plate. Someone eats it and says, yum, that was good. That's sort of Venus's domain. It's very sensual. When you're talking about Jupiter, you're talking about ideological. You're talking about the ability to take the complexities of life and through philosophy or beliefs, whether it's democracy or a legal system or education or religion, whatever, that you're able to find unity despite the appearance of seeming complexity or even chaos. That's Jupiter's role. So when Neptune is in Jupiter's sign, there's going to be the potential for the desire to dissolve or flood or overwhelm our philosophies, our beliefs, our axiomatic truths. It's more difficult to arrive upon consensus truth, or it's called into question for good or bad reasons, or there's going to be delusion or illusion surrounding truth, or it's going to be it's hard to tell what is truth and what is fiction, or people are going to call into question whether truth is even possible to be understood, or people are going to say that truth is 100% completely relative, or people are going to say, well, here's truth, and because everything's a little bit more hazy right now, because of that, we tend to, when we feel that there's truth, we get so fixated on it that we will tend to say anyone who isn't here with me on this truth is delusional. So we try to project Neptune back onto the other person represents the other side of wherever we're coming from. So those are all like Neptune in Pisces. There's a lot more that could be said about that, but that those are some of the effects that Neptune has on Pisces. Remember that Neptune is going to enter Aries in 2025, about 4 years from now. The last time Neptune entered Aries, civil war, right? The civil war started. So it's good to be aware of this moon cycle as a kind of microcosm of the potential for heightened civil strife, civil discord. I would see that as playing out in particular because as this moon cycle goes on, we are also going to see some gnarly transits from Venus, not just the starting square to Pluto, which the cycle is toned by and could very well on its own suggest upheaval, catharsis, death and rebirth, volcanic eruptions of conflict around places that are supposed to be about peace or harmony. So you can see that just by the opening transit of the cycle. But if you go forward a little bit to say the 23rd through the 26th of the month, right about that time, you're going to see, it's 22nd, you're going to see Venus go through the conjunction to Uranus and then square to Saturn. Those are another two very intense moments for Venus in the cycle, as Venus is also in the process of appearing as a morning star, or evening star. So you're going through a pretty big shift in relationships, and a lot of it because of that. The other thing that's happening, the underlying tension at the start of the cycle between Mars and Neptune, Mars and Gemini, Neptune and Pisces, is going to have to do with mental, intellectual, spiritual, or philosophical conversations about the nature of truth. And when people find that they're in different axiomatic starting points, can the conversation be about philosophies rather than pitting people against people? I think that's going to be a big part of the conversation of this moon cycle. And it's in a microcosm. You're going to find that this appears somewhere very particular in your life. It could be around, you know, your sense of identity. It could be around relationships. It could be around home and family or your work or your friends or colleagues or religion, political things. It could be around children. It could be around money, right? So where does it appear in your life? Look at the whole sign houses of Aries and Taurus to see where that conversation shifts or how that conversation may unfold, and watch for the potential for this, almost this feeling of, underlying, if we can't agree upon an underlying ideological starting point, are we going to go at it? Or are we going to say, okay, we have different starting points that we don't have the same ones. Respectfully, we disagree. If we want to debate the philosophies, that's fine. But can you do so in a way that absolutely does not attack a person? That's the advice that I've kind of gotten written down on my astrological notepad for myself. Sometimes I'm literally in my old office, I would put things on my wall with things right here so that I wouldn't forget. Every day I would get to my desk and be like, this energy is at play. So, you know, hold on to the handlebars of your stupid little desk chair. You know, like I'm sitting here all day, like reading charts and seeing all these energies, you know, go round and round. And sometimes it feels like you're, at least when in my experience of being an astrologer and being on social media all the time, it feels like you're in this antagonistic echo chamber. It's like an echo chamber where the same kinds of fights and debates are playing out all the time. And then you speak with people and you hear them mouthing it. And my first client is on one side. My first client of the day is someone who thinks everyone who believes that vaccines are good for you is crazy. The next person comes in who's so excited to get their vaccine and they believe that anyone who doesn't take a vaccine is crazy. The next person comes in, you know what I mean? And it's like that for me all the time. Like every single day of my life, as an astrologer, I watch people work through the fundamentally the exact same transits, but coming out with wildly different conclusions. And the tendency, especially over the past 3 weeks that I've noticed, has been it's popping up. Mars square Neptune with all this force in Aries coming through with Venus squaring Pluto. If you don't agree with me, you're delusional. If you don't define it in the way that I do, you're delusional. And what I would like to see change is you don't have the same belief that I do. You're not seeing the same things that I am, but I'm going to take this 1 second to say that I have an axiomatic starting point that's different from yours. And I'm going to assume that I could be wrong. I could be, it's possible. And because I'm just going to hold that out, it doesn't mean I have to dismiss my axiomatic truth or call it into question. Suddenly I'm wobbling around and my castle's made of sand and I'm freaking out. No, I'm just, for a second, I'm saying, no, I'm standing on my solid ground, but I recognize that you are too. And in order to get along, we both have to take that moment to assume that maybe you're standing on the correct ground and I'm not, or maybe I'm on the correct one and you're not, but we give each other that respect. And then from that place, we could have a conversation while respecting. You have that, you have to stand on something. So you're standing on that. And I have to stand on something. So I'm standing on this. And we have discourse. And the discourse might attack each other's premises and stuff like that, but it doesn't attack a person. I'm not going to try and attack your dignity. I'm not going to try to, you know, because, and the other thing, the reason that not only am I, maybe I could be wrong, but also maybe I'm a hypocrite. No, maybe I don't have enough ammo in my tank of goodness to shoot you down with, you know, without taking myself down in the process if I'm really introspective about it. So if I can just do those two things, one, maybe my axiomatic starting point isn't true. That doesn't mean I don't believe that it is. It doesn't mean I don't act as though it is, but it's just, I respect that you have a different one and I suspend my disbelief in a sense for a second. And then the second thing is I consider myself too much of a hypocrite to start firing righteous ammo at you because we're different, because we have a different starting point. Oh, think of how different things could be if we work that. So here's me, you know, in my crazy little chair all day, you know, being bombarded by seeing the different expressions of the same exact archetypes. I've got little mantras on my wall, like, okay, don't spin out. The person you disagree with is not a delusional fake. The blah, blah, blah. Like, I have to tell myself these things because I fall prey to it too. People who disagree with me on my YouTube channel, it's easy for me, like in the comments, they'll be like, you suck and everything you say is wrong. Or, you know, they'll be like, oh, you're so unenlightened or whatever. And I'm like, oh, you know, I get so worked up by this. Then I'm like, yeah, well, you know what? You're probably delusional because you probably don't chant the holy names of God every morning like I do. You belong in the loony bin. And it's just like, what's, you know what I mean? Like, who's exempt from acting this way? I think we all do it. If we feel like someone is attacking us, then we attack them. And in the process, we start weaponizing our beliefs. And our beliefs aren't there to attack other people. Our beliefs are there in an ideal sort of Jupiterian sense to give us a sense that we can handle complexity, that we can bring complexity together in a meaningful way. Now, in saying that, you know, I'm sure there's some people out there who could say that you're trying to relativize everything. I'm not. I happen to believe that my axiomatic truths are indeed absolutely correct. Like, I believe that God is 100% real, absolutely correct, that we have eternal immutable souls, et cetera, et cetera. I don't disbelieve that. I don't believe that that's just my truth. No, I believe that's fundamentally true. But when I go out and hang out with like one of my best friends and one of my groomsmen, who is a PhD scientist and doesn't believe in God, you know, I love him, you know, and he loves me. We've been friends forever. So when we go out, we might attack each other's premises, but not each other. And we can do that. Like, there's like legitimately you can do that. It's not that hard. It just takes being able to, you know, the big thing is that, you know, it's not my belief or my convictions that make me righteous, at least not in my path. I'll tell you that right now. in the bhakti path, the thing that makes us righteous is our humility, our ability to see our own hypocrisy, our ability to respect other people, our ability to hug a question mark when it comes to you can do two things simultaneously. You can hold your belief and hold a question mark at the same time. Oh my God, mind blowing. Wow, that we can do that. I'm being a little sarcastic, but it's truly amazing that we can do that, right? So I'm saying this because this moon cycle is brought to you by Mars in Gemini, square Neptune in Pisces. That's still fading as the Mars ruled new moon comes through and as Venus and Pluto square off. And, you know, Venus and Pluto, when you've got that underlying Mars tension, it's like, oh, you don't believe different. You believe differently than me. Let's kill each other. Right. So, you know, or it's like, you know, let's try to do harm to one another because we don't see things similarly. So many good people with good ideas and good beliefs are brought in by poor ways of expressing or communicating them. And so many people with, you know, bad beliefs, you know, will obviously like, you know, I find that the worse a belief is, really, the more likely that a person is to fundamentally disrespect other people. But anyway, whatever, you don't need my two more cents from me. I've already filled up your coin jar for today. So I would watch for the whole sign house of Aries in your birth chart, Aries and Taurus, see how things are going to play out this month. And let's try to make it through the month. If you have to make a little thing on your wall, like I do, then you have to, then you have to do it. Make yourself a little note, wear a little brace. I do this. This is the thing that I do. So I have this bracelet. I got it. And I did, this was a while ago. Some of you have been following me for a while, probably participated in this. So I have a bracelet that I wear that says Hare Krishna on it. And on the back, it says kind words, clean heart. And I put it on my wrist and every day I have to look at it and I have to deal with it. And let's just say that I get pissed off because I feel like someone's challenging me and I can't just understand that they don't like my philosophy, or like, I'm not able to like differentiate in that way. I'm a spirit soul. I'm not a philosophy. I'm a spirit soul. I'm not an ideology. That's part of how my belief and my faith help me live in the world, right? If I'm walking through my day and remembering that, but then I just fly off the handle, I get something, you know, pisses me off, or I get impatient or something like that. I get flippant and maybe I say something cutting, or I get into it with someone. I just look at this and I go, kind words, clean heart, the demonstration of my belief, the actual proof that I believe anything that I say that I do boils down to whether I can say things with kind words and a clean heart, whether I can say things with clear eyes and an open chest. You know what I mean? And to be able to do that day by day, I find is really difficult. And I'm just skeptical of people who say that it's not. People who are, you know, people who don't struggle with this, or people who just bulldoze others and don't care at all about it, right? But I wear this because I know I have a tendency to do that, or I could do that. So I'm a work in progress in this regard, but I think we all are. I think that's a big part of what this transit is about. Are we going to let underlying ideological tensions or conflicts in relationships become a source of frustration and hurt this month? We see Mercury and Mars, mutual reception, communication and sharp words are there. Remember that as this comes in, we also have the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in the background. A lot of people are trying to build a new, almost like ideological, political, spiritual, personal platform that can start bringing unity back into their lives or give them some sense of faith or cohesion about the future. We're all, you know, entitled to do that. But to me, you know, the sign that we're doing that well is our ability to hold space for people whose axiomatic starting points may be different than our own. So I'm pretty sure I've done this justice, the few thoughts that were on my list today. If you guys would like to leave comments, and I'd love to hear what you're inspired about right now, and also how these energies are manifesting in your lives. How is Venus Pluto for you? Did you guys see any really noticeable Venus Pluto events in your life? I'd love to hear about them, or otherwise what you're thinking about or noticing from these energies. As always, I love reading your comments. So I hope you guys have a great day today, and we will see you for lots more the rest of this week. Take care. Bye.